is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Let's play as long as we can and maybe play some situations. And afterwards, let's all coaches go into a room and let's talk shop. Let's talk about, what did you see about our team? What did we see about your team? Here's some things that you run. Here's some things that we like, because we all want to get better.
Wayne Killings is in his third season as the head men's basketball coach at the University at Albany. This episode is the second in a series that will chronicle the 2023-24 season as Killings and the Great Danes compete for an America East Conference Championship. Hey, Hoopheads, start the season off strong this October with scary good deals of up to $4,000 off the top training solutions from our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Prepare your team for success this preseason with spooky savings of up to $4,000 off Dr. Dish Basketball's shooting machines designed for schools and programs. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
This is Billy Hansen, author of Harder Than I Thought, Easier Than I Feared, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Hey coaches, check out our newest sponsor, SportsLab 360, an online platform made up of interactive modules that focus on different tactical concepts, from the basics of reading a screen to specific offenses such as the dribble drive. Especially for our high school coaches out there, with such limited practice time with your players, assigning the SportsLab 360 modules to them before practice can save you tons of time from having to stand there and explain these concepts. And you can move more quickly on to the next layer while your competition is still stuck on the fundamentals. As a coach, you can also put customized notes into the players' interactive modules, and you can track how they're scoring on the modules, making it a valuable tool to help identify areas that need development. These guys have had major success in soccer and just recently launched in basketball, and I'd urge all of our listeners to go check them out. Through October and November, you can use the code all lowercase hoopheads to save 15% off any SportsLab 360 plan. Head over to www.sportslab360basketball.com to check them out. Prepare like the pros with the all-new FastDraw and FastScout. FastDraw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off FastDraw and FastScout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improve communication with your team. FastModel also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. FastModel Sports is the best in basketball. Get ready to take some notes as you listen to this episode with Dwayne Killings, head men's basketball coach at the University at Albany. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel tonight. And we are pleased to welcome back for episode number 2 of season 2023-24 with Dwayne Killings, head men's basketball coach at the University at Albany. Dwayne, welcome back, number 2.
What's going on, man? It's great to be back. As these days kind of continue on, you get closer and closer to the start of college basketball season. We got one of our players. He keeps track of the countdown. So every day, before practice, I ask him what the number is. When he starts getting into the 20s, you start saying, oh, shoot, that season's coming.
We're not that far away. He's not marking it off like a prisoner, is he? On the side of the wall, man. No.
excitement for the kids that want to play. As coaches, you're just thinking, do you have your baseline out of bounds, your press offense, press defense? Are you ready for all the wild things that happen in a college basketball game?
So going into a season, do you have – obviously you put together sort of an overarching what you want to accomplish. How does that look in terms of where you're at compared to where you hope to be at, of getting things in? And you're with your guys a lot during the summer too, and you can get some things
in place. But obviously when you're stepping foot on the practice floor for real, it's a little bit different. So where are you in terms of where you thought you'd be or where you want to be?
Yeah, I thought in the summer, you know, it was about more learning our team, establishing our culture, establishing how we do things, you know, getting to know, you know, everybody and getting, you know, the kind of ecosystem, if you will, the practice environment and everything together. I think now, you know, you're against the clock a little bit, you know, practice time is good, but, you know, you're always trying to think of, okay, what have we gotten in, and then what do we need to get accomplished today and then the next day, and what's the overarching emphasis and what are the kids taking away? And then obviously every practice takes a life of its own. So, you know, you may not get down the practice plane. You may need to live somewhere else in it to make sure that the kids retain information, that they're building good habits, they're getting better. You know, I think for us, you know, what we've done is, you know, Coach Weitzel, for instance, has been our defensive coordinator. And, you know, we have a defensive checklist. You know, how far down that checklist are we? How do we need to, you know, manage the next, you know, two practices? You know, where does that put us? And then obviously October is a long month, you know, so it's just random injuries happen. Guys are out for a day or two. You got to constantly adjust and pivot. And obviously you do the same thing in games. Offensively, I think we're doing the same things, but then I think we still also explore. I mean, we're playing against each other, so it's certain coverages that you're playing against every day and things of that nature. But I think at the same time, ideas come out of it. You know, guy makes certain kind of reads and plays. You start saying, well, maybe we could be good at this. Today, Jerome Allen, who coached with the Detroit Pistons and the Boston Celtics and was the head coach at Penn, spent a day with us, talked to our team, spent some time in our offices. You know, we talked about some different ideas that we could approach with our group. And I think that's been the major focus. And then, you know, right now, I think our kids need to be able to articulate how we win games offensively and defensively. And there should be a true identity of that. I think people should be able to come into our gym and kind of get a feel for who we are the minute they see us play. And, you know, we've done some things to discuss that, to talk about it, make sure everybody understands it. You know, we're right where we're supposed to be, but we got some more work to do.
What's the practice schedule look like right now during the preseason? How long are you guys going? Are you consistently at the same time every day? What are the expectations for your guys outside of the practice court in terms of watching film? And are you guys doing study table with the freshmen? Just what's a day look like for you guys right now?
Yeah, great question. I mean, you know, I was really fortunate in my career to be, you know, at Marquette, UConn, Temple. I think, you know, facilities are a big part of this, you know, at different places. And, you know, you're at Marquette. I mean, you get this consistent time. You know, here at Albany, we have a really good women's program. You know, we got to share right now a practice court with them as our arena is being done, which will get delivered to us in the next couple of weeks, which is awesome. But that requires us to kind of have a different practice time from a day-to-day basis. So Tuesdays and Thursdays, we're on the court 11 to 2. Mondays, we go 9 to 11. Fridays, we can either go 9 to 11 or 3 until whenever we want to be done. And Saturdays, just kind of depends on what we do. You know, we lift 3 days a week, which is great. We have a team study hall every Friday. We have a big team meal Fridays in a restaurant that's on campus, which is really good for us. Every day we give them a meal after they finish training for the day. And from a learning perspective, you know, the environment we try to create is we have what we call Mentality Club, which is where, you know, we show all of our players basically the habits we're trying to build on a day-to-day basis in practice, and we reward them. You know, they would get, say, +3 for a charge. They get -2 for a turnover. You know, multiple efforts, they get +2. You know, they get a point for assist. You know, there's all these things that we chart and we value, and we give a Mentality Club winner every single week. We may talk about that. Every Monday we have what we call Mentality Mondays. It could be a video of Obama speaking. It could be, you know, a video of Nick Saban speaking, and there's a message behind it, and we'll ask them their perspective just to get them thinking, you know, throughout the course of the practice day and for the week, and we'll kind of re-emphasize those messages. And then when it gets to practice time, you know, what we try to do is today we started with, you know, a transition review where we really walked them through transition defense. So that way there was, anybody could ask any questions that they want. I think sometimes you're throwing so much at their minds. Let's slow them down, you know, where it's not full practice and emotions are going and competitive energy is going. Let's just really teach and make it like a classroom environment where we're really walking them through space to space, answer questions, ask questions, make it where, you know, they're replying and they're talking about what we should do. So hopefully we can either affirm that A, they know it, or B, hey, they're a little fuzzy, let's kind of explore this. Then we do 5-on-0 as a way to kind of get their bodies moving, get their voices going. Then we stretch, and then, you know, we always spend some time working on skill. We call it guards forwards, kind of break down by position. And then we do some station work, just again, building habits. Today it was one station with multiple efforts. You know, we're trying to get them to understand how to get guys to play through the chest, how to, you know, rotate over and take charges, how to recover into the gaps. And then on the other end, working at the point of the screen with a 3-on-3, kind of a ball screen series. Then we go to shell. And, you know, in that part of practice, you know, that's where, you know, our identity starts to show up, where we play with a high level of urgency. We start with every single detail. Four guys are touching hands. If they're not, we restart them, you know, make sure they're closing in the gaps, making sure they're high hands, the whole deal. And there's a progression that we do there. And then we go what we call kill drill. They got to get three stops in a row, which is a big part for our program. Our marketing team is behind it, and they're going to kind of brand it during the year. But they're playing against two coaches that were all league players, and Matt Cerruti, who played for us here, and Ryan Daly, who played at St. Joe's. And these guys get it going, you know, with two walk-ons. I mean, they make it hard for them, which
that's
is
good a lot stuff. Of fun.
Do you suit up, Dwayne? Dwayne, do you suit up?
No, I do not. I do not. I do not. I try to inspire. I try to motivate, but I do not. I am retired. You know, if I get out there, I think at this point, either I got to make a standstill jumper or I got to get an open area rebound. But we'll get through that, and then we start playing and playing out of actions, and, you know, we get competitive. And one of the things we do that's just great, we do these 8-point games that really teach these guys, you know, it's a game of runs. So, you know, it's like who can get the run, you know, going, who can maintain it. So I like our practice environment. I think it's been really good for us. We got work to do, but I think our team has really gotten better over the course of the preseason.
When you guys are doing those stations or positional breakdown, are you floating between stations and between each side of the floor, just kind of overseeing, and your assistants are doing the teaching part of it and the working directly with the players? Or how do you guys organize that?
Yeah, you know, we will, it's two coaches kind of on both ends. And, you know, it's an opportunity for the coaches to use their voice. It's an opportunity for the coaches to teach, to manage. And, you know, we got both sides going, and, you know, I'll spend time on either side, you know, whether it's the pace and the flow that I want. Or, you know, if, hey, we gotta slow down and kind of teach a guy a little bit more than what we're doing right now, you know, so I kind of seesaw back and forth. But, you know, I give them a lot of freedom to be able to manage and coach our guys. They're really good. I mean, we got really good coaches. You know, we meet in the mornings and we'll talk about the practice, talk about what we're doing. You know, I want them to run it. I want the guys to, you know, really hear their voice and hear their teachings. And I think it's a good way to get them engaged in practice. And I think that momentum carries throughout the practice.
What's the chemistry been like? You got some new guys on the staff. You got Jim Weitzel, who obviously has a ton of experience. You've got some of your younger guys that you already mentioned that are out on the floor that are playing and can get competitive with your players. What's the chemistry been like for you guys, both in the office and out on the practice floor?
Yeah, I think my personal opinion is, you know, like, our identity in the office as coaches, it carries on to the practice floor. Our identity, our relationships in the office, it carries on to the practice floor. So if there's some gaps, it's probably reflected in our staff. I mean, we're pretty locked in. You know, it's fun. You know, we have a good time together. I think we challenge each other. We speak very openly. You know, we obviously, Coach Weitzel's super experienced. But then we have some guys that with a different set of experience. They're just younger in their careers, but they're willing to challenge and to give ideas, give thoughts, be engaged in what we're trying to do and trying to get the most out of our guys. And then people that come around us, I think, you know, again, we're sitting around a table in the office. We're talking about practice, talking about what we're going to do. you know, we'll laugh, we'll joke, we'll talk about an NBA preseason game that we saw. And then people that will say, like, when they get down the practice floor, it's like, you know, within 2 seconds, it's like all this energy comes out of us. You know, Coach Weitzel's been doing this for a while, but he's just as energetic as KJ Baptiste, who's, you know, 30 years old, which is pretty impressive to have. And I think it's challenging for our student athletes because we're going to make them better, you know, by inspiring them, by motivating them, by teaching them how to do things. You know, it's one thing to be able to tell a guy, okay, this is how you're going to come off a ball screen. It's different when you can have guys on your staff that can really teach them by showing them. You know, and some guys, you know, learn by, you know, watching film. Some guys learn by watching people do it. Some guys learn by, like, having somebody walk them through it, but really teach them point A, B, C, and D. And we have guys that can do it at every level, which I think is an advantage for our guys. And our guys have gotten better, so you can see it. And, you know, our guys like to do it. You know, like you can, after practice, you know, you go in, guys getting showers, and your guys are sweaty, guys are a little tired because, you know, we're fully engaged in there for the 2-2.5 hour practice, which is, I think, what any player would want. And you can see in what we do because we've been lucky. You know, we've had some all-league players. We had, you know, two my first year and, you know, rookie of the year the first year. And obviously we had rookie of the year this past year. And I think, you know, we've really, you know, developing talent at a high level here. And I think, you know, you'll see the fruits of our labor as the year goes on.
As you look at the time between practices, so practice ends today, you got another practice coming tomorrow. How do you go back and look at what happened today, and how does that sort of guide you into what you're going to do tomorrow? How much time are you spending looking at the practice film? Who's looking at it? What are those discussions like?
Yeah, you know, I'm not one to you know, we're not going to stay in the office till 9 o'clock at night. Like, our guys need to have lives. You know, I have a family. You know, I want to make sure we can get home and be a good father. And I want these guys to be able to feel good in the morning when they go to work. You know, I think that's part of it. You know, if you get burnt out, it's hard to be, you know, give your all and give the perspective. So, you know, we send a lot of text messages as the evening goes on. Guys are watching film. You know, today one of the points of emphasis was, we have a term, it's who's got the mic, and KJ Baptiste brought this to our program. It's the man in charge, the guy that declares the ball. And it was a big point of emphasis today. So if you can't see it on film, that means you're not being really assertive when you declare the ball. So we'll show some clips of it because our point is, if we can declare the ball and get the ball slowed down and corral the ball, meaning the guy to the left or the right, as he's kind of filling on the floor, you slow the ball down. If we can do that in the first 3 seconds, we probably have a chance to win the possession. So we should be able to see that on film. We'll show that tomorrow. We'll get a couple of clips of it. I'm just looking at the practice plan right here. One of the notes I have is, you know, we need to bring physicality, meaning how we block out, how we fight over screens, how we set screens. So we'll show a few clips of that. I'm personally not a big, you know, 30-minute film session. You know, guys can only absorb so much information. You know, I think I mentioned to you before, we had a guy named Doug Lamoff come over who is kind of a specialist in learning styles in the academic realm. You know, kids today, in a conversation we had in the summer, it's like they absorb information in quick hits. You know, it's like a few swipes of a phone. It's Twitter. It's 90 seconds. So we'll try to show them 10, 15 clips, but then I'll tell the guys, get guys up in the office and show them 5, 10, 15 clips on your own. Now, if we hit them 2 or 3 times throughout the course of a day, that's 10 times, 15 times throughout the course of the week, they're going to get the messages that we want. Let's not throw a ton of things at them. Let's get better at 2 or 3 things incrementally, and we'll get them where we want over the course of the year. And then, you know, we'll write notes today and kill drill. I mean, it took them a while to get the kill against coaches. So the message to them is like, do we have the urgency where we got 2 kills? Why didn't we get the 3rd? You know, was Ryan Daly got it going, you know, and we had a chance. It was funny. We got 2 stops in a row and we were close to getting a kill. And a guy was hesitant to go double. And he was just kind of in between. Ryan fired it to that guy because he was in no man's land. And the guy he was matched to makes a 3. So let's show him the film that's going to happen in the game. You know, and I think we're creating like as many game like repetitions as we can by making it really competitive. And I think their competitive energy goes up really high playing against the coaches because there's that embarrassment factor. You know, yep. The guys, you know, they're going to talk to them and, you know, they're going to get it going from that perspective. So let's go back through it. And it's not just so much the rotations, like where's your mind at? You know, where's your heart at? You know, where's your mentality at in the possession? Do you want to stop that bet? You know, and now when the emotions are going, guess what happens next? Somebody gets undisciplined, and that's why they lost the possession. Same thing happens in the game when the referees go and the trash talking's going. So I think we're able to kind of create some of that to start the conversations, to gain, to open their perspective. Hopefully we're not making the mistakes in the scrimmages, but let's make them in the scrimmages so we don't make it in the games on account.
When you think about what you've done to this point compared to if you think back to sort of the night before this first practice of the season, what's been the most pleasant surprise that you've gotten out of your team to this point through preseason practice?
They believe. We did a retreat we call an advance. We went to a campsite about an hour and 20 minutes away from campus on Tuesday night. And it's a place owned by the school. And we went in and we talked about our goals. We talked about what's keeping us from our goals. And some guys asked some really good things. Then everybody got up and the point was to kind of learn more about each other. So we talked about who your hero is, what your biggest highlight in life was, and what your biggest hardship. And then also you talked about your biggest fear. And then we put a chair next to where everybody sat. And it was an open seat. Who would you invite to the open seat? And I thought it was great because guys were very vulnerable. They let themselves go. And the guys really liked it. And what I took from it was they believe in each other. They want to get better. They think that we can be really good together. Now, the playing time hasn't started. The adversity hasn't started. That will come. But right now, I think we're in a really good spot. I think we're a pretty good practice team. I mean, we've only had probably one day where I've been really disappointed in our effort in practice. And, you know, that's going to happen. I mean, they're only human. But I think we're becoming a good practice team, which means we can become a good team because you get better in practice. And I think the other thing is the guys are learning how to play with each other. I mean, we have 8 or 9 new guys. That's a lot. So, you know, the way you guys move, the way you guys catch, the way you guys communicate, I mean, that takes some time to figure out, you know, when you don't have the continuity from a team from the year before. And I think we're getting it in practice. I think the one thing that we have to grow at is I think we get them to the point where you build good habits. You're doing certain things you're emphasizing on Monday and Tuesday. You take Wednesday off. Thursday, you're like, wow, we're getting it. Friday, you got it. You're playing well. Saturday, you know, we compete on Saturdays. Take Sunday off. And Monday, it's like you're starting over again because we're just not quite there with the habits that we want where it's ingrained and it's a natural reaction, right? That's what you want. You know, you want to go back to your training and your habits so that way you're reacting the way you want your guys to help you win games. But we're getting there. And I think, you know, they respond well to coaching. I think they want to be coached, and that's something we talk about. If you don't want to be coached, you don't want to get good. And I think our guys, and I say this, and I think this is like a universal conversation, they're learning how to become basketball players. They don't just play basketball. Here's what I mean. Basketball players, they get treatment, go to class, they get in the gym, they watch film. They don't just have the film running. I mean, they watch it and they process it and they study it. And then they practice. And then they're disciplined enough to get their sleep. And then they do it again and again and again. And every decision that they make is reflected on what's most important to the team, and that's winning. So guys aren't messing around and all that thing. I think we're getting there. You know, we're slowly getting to the point where we're all doing that. And I think the work capacity has grown. I mean, it's like you throw more at them. You know, we told them the other day, you know, on days we shoot around, well, shoot around, but we still want guys to come in, shoot 53 throws, sorry, on the home game days. And the guys didn't even bat out. They're like, cool, that's going to help us get better. Let's do it. So we're getting there.
When you think about a typical practice or you think about your experience in all the different places you've been, including Albany. I'm always curious about this from a coaching perspective. When your team comes out on the floor, how long into the practice is it before you know, hey, man, these guys are locked in, or you can kind of sense that, oh, man, like you said, you had the one practice day. Like, how far into that practice were you where you kind of knew, like, oh, man, it's just like it may not happen today?
Yeah, I think it's like the hard drill. You know, like there's always a couple of drills that are hard, you know, shell. You know, we have a couple of transition drills that are really hard. We have a drill called no paint. It's just 3-on-3, but you space the floor and guys got to be able to guard the ball. I think those drills, when you don't have it, it shows and you're just like, all right, we got to get through. But, you know, Coach Weitzel had a really good saying one day. He said, you know, like, start to fall in love with the messy practices. You know, like, those are okay because you gotta fight through. You know, you got to grind through it. And that's the game. Some days you're stuck in mud, you know, on the road. You're stuck in mud at home. You got to grind through it to be able to get out of the game with a victory. So, you know, I think as coaches, and, you know, this is – I'm at the infancy part of being a head coach. I think, you know, you want to have a perfect practice. And because, you know, that's the way you go home feeling good. But sometimes I think having that perspective, it helped, because the messy practices, sometimes it's like, man, we didn't have it, but we still did some good things. You know, a couple guys that we're relying on couldn't make shots, but they still stuck with it. They still executed. They found another way to impact the possession. That stuff is really good things to see. And then at the end of the day, they will get into the circle, and one of the guys says, you know what? We got to be better tomorrow. They get it. They understand it because they're taking ownership in the team, the program, and the practice environment.
Yeah, I think when you can really get guys to start to recognize, hey, this is what a good practice looks like. Hey, this is what a practice is maybe not up to the standard that we all want it to be. When they can start to see that and self-correct is maybe the wrong way to say it, but they can start to analyze and be like, hey, like we gotta pick this up. And obviously, as your team develops, those internal leaders and guys that other players look to sort of be the emotional bellwether for what you guys are bringing to the table every day, then that's where, again, that type of mentality can come from the players, where they can sort of start to feel, hey, we got to turn this thing around. And that doesn't always have to come from a coach or from you. It can come from them saying, hey, we got to pick this thing up, whether they're in one of those tough drills like you mentioned, or maybe it's just, hey, we got to get through and get our work done and make sure that from the moment we step on the floor that we're locked in. And as you know, like that takes a lot. It takes a lot for 15 dudes to get locked in every single day. And that's where, if you've got those guys that are leaders in your locker room and on the practice floor, that those guys can kind of start to dial in. Are you starting to see, even this early, obviously you got guys coming back, but as you said, you got a ton of newcomers. Are you starting to see those leaders emerge at this point, or where are you guys at with that?
Yeah, you know, we have a kid, Marcus Jackson, who he's only a sophomore. His brother, Andre Jackson, you know, plays for the Bucks. We played at UConn. He is our leader. You know, we talked about it on the advance, and, you know, I asked the guys, you know, about his leadership, and everybody raised their hand. I thought that was a strong thing. It's interesting that you asked. You know, he's out right now. He's got a minor injury, but we miss his presence on the floor. I think Jonathan Beagle, who is the returning rookie of the year, you know, he's become a very good practice player. Not that he wasn't last year, but he's a freshman. You know, everything you're throwing at him, you absorb it differently as a freshman than you do as a sophomore. I think he's become very good in practice, and I think, you know, you see his talent. I mean, you walk in the gym, you're like, man, this guy can go. And he's an all-league player, and he kind of is the connector for the group. But then you look to your left, and you got the rookie of the year from 2 years ago, Justin Neely, on an exercise bike working to get himself back. You know, he's doing things on the court. You're like, man, like, I can see his body, how much it's changed from when he got to campus to October 12th, which was today. You see it. So I think that's really important. But then you walk in the gym and there's one or two guys there who are in a full lather shooting. And then there's two or three guys in the gym shooting after practice, or Amari Marshall, who came from Hofstra every day you know, he runs a ladder, you know, so he goes, you know, up and down the court a number of times because he's trying to build conditioning, he's trying to get an edge. I think those habits are great, you know, so let's continually do those things. And then, you know, the guy that I think we've challenged the most is Sebastian Thomas. You know, we got him from Rhode Island. He's a very talented passer. And, you know, we really challenged him about just the way he handles his business. And I think he's embraced it all. He's gotten better because he's gotten more mature. And then the second thing I'd say, you know, it's funny. We talked to him about all these different things we wanted him to do on and off the court. And he walked in the gym today and he cut his hair. He had braids. And I said, what's up with that? He goes, I want to start fresh. And I said to myself, this dude is trying to get it done, you know, and he believes, you know, he's bought into what we're trying to do. Cause I think he's seen the benefit. I mean, he's gained 10 pounds since he's been here. He's doing well academically. He's playing good basketball. But our point to him is you can be better than what you are right now. So let's stay in it. And I like our group. I mean, I really like this team. We have a good time together. It's fun coaching them. We're starting to do some good things. And, you know, we're to the point where it's time to play somebody, though. You know, it's we're not totally ready, you know, from everything you want to get in and be prepared for. But it's getting close to that time.
Where are your freshmen at right now?
Ooh, great question. I think it's a lot. You know, we have one kid, Zach Matula. So Zach actually, ironically, is a walk-on. He's still from the local area. He's got the best motor I've ever seen. Like, the kid doesn't stop. A true story. Every day after practice in the summer, kid ran 3 miles. 3 miles. He worked himself to exhaustion. Zach Matula, I will go on record by saying he will play meaningful minutes here. He works that hard. Like, he's not always doing the right thing, but he's playing hard. So the game rewards him. You know, he finds a loose ball. He gets a layup. He gets a block because he's just worked playing so hard with so much energy. He's got a great voice. He's got great energy. He's a positive kid that, like, just, you know, it bounces off of him. Jack Margupis, it's funny. Jerome Allen came here, and he talked about him for, you know, way longer than I thought he would have. But Jack is an elite shooter. I mean, he shoots the cover off the ball. Now, learning and figuring out plays and defensive rotations, it's just, you know, it's just trying to figure it out. But he's got an elite skill. Like, I think there's really good players, but then there's guys that have elite skills, guys that rebound at an elite level, guys that pass at an elite level. This kid shoots it at an elite level. Now, I think we're trying to connect all the other dots. And then, you know, Zane Adnan, you know, we brought him. He's a culture kid. I mean, he won Mentality Club last week. I mean, he does all the culture things. He got 3 Chargers throughout the course of the week, and we reward guys with 3 points in Mentality Club for that. And then he did awesome, you know, with that. And then, you know, it's funny. You take a shot sometimes, and we did walk on tryouts. And there's a kid right now, you know, we're giving a shot. Kid's all 6'7", 6'8". I mean, just strolled in, strong as an ox. His cousin is Jairus Walker, and we're giving him a chance. And physical, I mean, you know, he's in his tryout kind of window, physical as all heck. And, you know, in shell, he makes it hard for the guys, you know, because he's just kind of just brute muscle and sets hard screens and tries to rebound and drive. And, you know, right now he's trying to fight like crazy to win every sprint. And that's what we want. So we're trying to just see his habits and see, you know, how it goes for him. But I think those 4 kids, I mean, they've impacted our program because they're playing hard and they're trying to figure it out.
What do your walk-on tryouts look like? I'm always curious. I think that's something that we've talked to different guys that have gone through that experience of being a walk-on. It's not something that, when I think back on the podcast, I don't ask too many people that question, but what did you do? Like, did you know this kid was going to come and try to play? Did you contact him before he showed up at tryouts, or kind of where were you guys? How do you guys handle that?
Yeah, I got a text from somebody about him because he had enrolled in school here, and he showed up in the office, and, you know, there's like, we give him a couple of checkpoints. You know, they got to do certain material to be able to, you know, walk right on from an NCAA and school perspective. So it's kind of like, if you don't follow through with that, then they're not that serious, you know, from it. Then we kind of give them the structure of practices and class schedules and what that needs to look like. And then, you know, with the trials, I mean, we kind of let you know, our GA get involved and, you know, all that kind of stuff to help him manage the whole experience. And I think you're just trying to figure out what kind of kids they are. You know, do they have a good, you know, foundation of skill, good understanding of basketball, then a good understanding of the role? Because I think some kids, they want to get on the team, but they don't know what that means.
Right, exactly.
Hey, we're going to coach you, but our commitment really is to the kids that we've given scholarships for, and then you can work hard, and who knows what can happen. But you got to understand what you're walking into, not to mention the team has been established, and these kids have been around, and they're in better shape, and they're so much far ahead. So just to get them to understand it, because I think they just want the uniform so bad. They want the sweatsuit so bad, but they don't know the responsibility that comes with that. And then, you know, for me, when I sit down with the kids that we are willing to consider, I mean, I just speak from my own personal experience. I was welcome. And it's like, hey, you know, be seen, not heard. And when your number's called, be ready. You know, this isn't like, hey, I didn't know you were going to call my – at any minute, you're going to get thrown into the fire. You got to be ready to go. And you can't be – the first one out of the gym, and you can't be, you know, the last one to come in. You got to get there, and you got to be really, like, you got to have a really selfless way about yourself, because your job is to get other guys prepared. Your win, honestly, for game day comes in preparation. You know, can you get in, know the scout, run through the plays, make it hard for the guys, make sure they're guarding, make sure they're supposed to be, you know, shot goes up, you're flying into the glass with guys – box you out. And when you win games, a lot of times, I mean, I've said it my whole career, we won the game because, you know, the walk-ons got us ready. And but that was your contribution to the team. And game day, you know, I think for some kids it's hard for them, but you got to be the kind of kid where you get lost in celebrating other people's success.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the key is understanding where you're at and what the role is. And there's some kids, as you well know, that embrace that and take advantage of it and make the most of it. And then there's other kids who, you know, they go and they think they want it, as you said, and it turns out that the commitment, the time, what it takes, the effort, and knowing that you're kind of, again, you're not going to get what we would think of as being the traditional recognition, right? You're not going to get to run out with the starting lineup. You're not going to get to be the people that the fans are cheering for on game night. But instead, what's going to happen is you're going to get that recognition from the coaching staff, as you said, for preparing those guys and getting them ready. So it's just interesting when you think about the experiences that walk-ons can have. And part of it comes from how you guys, right, as a coaching staff, handle that situation and integrate that into your team, and then how your guys react to those walk-ons. Because we all know there's all different kinds of experiences that dudes can have when they walk on. It can be a positive, and it can also sometimes go the other way. So you guys have some scrimmages coming up. So just talk briefly about those. And then I think after we do that, that's probably a good natural ending point. Just what are you hoping to get out of the scrimmages that you guys have coming up?
Yeah. You know, we have an opportunity to play against two really good teams. And, you know, I think the goal is a couple things. You know, when we scheduled them, I think the first one that we'll play, the idea was, let's find a really good offensive basketball team, a really good program that is going to really test us and, you know, spread us out. They're going to move us. We got to be able to guard, kind of challenge our defensive principles. You know, from an offensive perspective, they'll make it hard for us. Let's see how good we are. And let's also, you know, play as much basketball as humanly possible. So, you know, we'll talk to their coaching staff about, you know, let's play as long as we can and maybe play some situations. And, you know, afterwards, let's all coaches go into a room and, you know, let's talk shop. You know, let's talk about, you know, what did you see about our team? What did we see about your team? You know, here's some things that you run. Here's some things that we like, because we all want to get better. I think, you know, as coaches, you know, we through COVID, I think we learned how to share more information, use Zooms and things of that nature. But when you're in the season, you kind of like, you steal ideas and stuff by watching games, but you don't talk to coaches as much because you're kind of lost in your own stuff. So, you know, we're fortunate to be playing against two coaching staffs we're very familiar and friendly with. So we'll do that. So we'll kind of go in, we'll play. Afterwards, I'll have a meal with both programs, and then, you know, have a chance to talk to their coaches about, you know, what do they see, what they're trying to take away, you know, share some ideas and things like that. The second one is a little bit different game, where I think it's going to be really physical for us, which would be good for our team. I think that'll be really good preparation for the season. And I think those two styles will give us two different looks, two different ways to think about competition, preparation. You know, we'll simulate game day by having a shoot around for the first scrimmage. The other one's on the road, so we'll have a chance to go on the road. And I think we'll be as prepared as possible to start the year. And then I said to our guys at the advance that, you know, our goal is we're going to compete in the scrimmage. So let's open our minds to understand, you know, we'll talk about roles, but you guys got to be ready, but it may not be what you think, you know, in terms of playing time and opportunity. I mean, this is college basketball. You know, this isn't CYO. So trying to get them to understand that too, so they can be ready when their number is called, and try to give them a little bit of perspective, like, hey, we got some time before the first game, but here's some of the gaps or some of the growth opportunities for you. And what I like to do is after the first scrimmage is, you know, start to declare roles, but also give them their growth opportunities. Say, here's a space we think you can get good at to help our team. Now, we may not be ready for you to do these things right now, do these things today, right now for us, but let's invest in it. Let's get better. Let's get it better in pre-practice, in practice, these couple areas, because I think it can have a nuclear reaction for our program and for you individually. And then I think the other part of the accountability for all of them is, hey, like, here's the things that also we're seeing that are really hurting you, that maybe, like, hey, maybe you got to get in better shape, or you need to know the plays, or, hey, you know, when we're doing these different actions or defensive coverages, here's where we want you to be, but here's where you are. So, like, I think that can help them, give them a little bit more of a roadmap. And I think coping a little bit with opportunity, maybe as much as they want it, not as much, you know, whatever it is, to still give them some hope because they can still stay in the fight. Because I think this is the hardest thing is when the games start. That's where you start to figure out how strong your culture is and your program and your team. Because they're human. I mean, everybody wants to play. But I think your practices change, your environment changes after those first scrimmages, especially after those first couple games.
Yeah, guys get a chance to figure out, right, what they look like against exterior competition. And you guys, as a coaching staff, I know that's one of the things that any team I've ever coached, you get those questions in the preseason, like, hi, how you guys looking? And I think the question was always, well, you know, we look pretty good against ourselves, but that doesn't really tell us necessarily a whole lot about what it's going to look like when we go out and compete against the teams that we have on our schedule and what that's going to look like, both from a team standpoint and an individual standpoint. So I think that obviously when you come out of those two scrimmages, you'll have a better idea kind of where you stand and where your guys are. Again, not compared to themselves, but comparing yourself against two pretty good programs. So you're less than a month away from game number one. You guys open up at UMass. And I know that we talked before we jumped on here that we'll probably get at least one more in before the season rolls around, if not more. So looking forward to the next one. Maybe we dive into some X's and O's a little bit, talk a little bit about how you guys design what you do offensively and defensively, and we'll just kind of see where the road takes us. But number two for this season is in the books. Dwayne, can't thank you enough for jumping on. I don't know if you have one final wrap-up statement or anything you want to throw at me before we get out of here, and then you'll get to bed, and so will I, and so will Jason.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Yeah, I think if I had one thing I'd say is, like, doing this for the last couple of years, one thing that we've done a good job of this year is, you know, I think, like, getting the fat out. You know, it's like, hey, we know what we need to get done, because, you know, when you first get in, you're trying to do so many different things, and you're learning what's most important. And I think what we've done is we really streamline our process. I think it's better for our kids. I think it's better for us. And now the days go by really, really fast, but I think we have a pretty good process with things. And I think we can continually to get better. But I think, you know, in terms of the preparation, you know, I think things slow down as you've done this a little bit and you kind of know what's coming at you. And I'm excited to get back on, especially after we would have played, to give the perspective of, okay, here are the things that, hey, man, I thought we were doing really good and maybe we're not doing as good. And here are the things that, like, man, I didn't see this one coming, but, you know, this guy kind of moved up in the rotation, or, hey, man, we found something that we didn't really realize we're that good at. Like, one of the things we talk about a bunch is, you know, you can rep this a lot, and every coach will talk about it. What's your closeouts like? You know, and it's a tough read in practice because you emphasize it and you're doing drills and guys know it's coming. You go out there live competition against a really good shooting team. If your closeouts aren't really good, you're going to pay for it. So now what is that urgency now creating our team? So I would love to, you know, talk more about, you know, the things that we think that we were going to be good at and then what we weren't or were when we played. And then also, like, what kind of urgency does it create in our team when we get back on Tuesday the 24th in practice or 25th in practice after having played our first scrimmage? Because I think that's going to really set the tone for our group moving into scrimmage two and then into game one. So,
absolutely. All right. Well, we will figure out amongst ourselves when we're going to jump back on. But thanks for staying up late with us tonight, Dwayne. Really appreciate it. Glad and to everyone out there, thanks for listening. And we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks. Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies. And most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast presented by Head Start Basketball.